First Kings, chapter 21. First Kings 21. Now it came about after these things that Naboth, a Jezreelite, had a vineyard which was in Jezreel beside the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spoke to Naboth, saying, "Give me your vineyard that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it is close beside my house. I will give you a better vineyard than is in its place. If you like, I will give you the price of it in money." But Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid me that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers." So Ahab came into his house, sullen and vexed because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he said, "I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers." And he lay down on his bed and turned away his face and ate no food. But Jezebel his wife came to him and said to him, "How is it that your spirit is so sullen that you are not eating food?" And he said to her, "Because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite and said to him, 'Give me your vineyard for money, or else if it pleases you, I will give you a vineyard in its place.' But he said, 'I will not give you my vineyard.'" And Jezebel his wife said to him, "Do you not reign over Israel? Arise, eat bread, and let your heart be joyful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent letters to the elders and to the nobles who were living with Naboth in this city. Now she wrote in the letters saying, "Proclaim a fast and seat Naboth at the head of the people, and seat two worthless men before him, and let them testify against him, saying, 'You curse God and the king.' Then take him out and stone him to death." So the men of his city, the elders and the nobles who lived in this city, did as Jezebel had sent word to them, just as it was written in the letters which she had sent them. They proclaimed a fast and seated Naboth at the head of the people. Then the two worthless men came in and sat before him, and the worthless men testified against him, even against Naboth, before the people, saying, "Naboth cursed God and the king." So they took him outside the city and stoned him to death with stones. Then they sent word to Jezebel, saying, "Naboth has been stoned and is dead." And it came about when Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, "Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money, for Naboth is not alive but dead." And it came about when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose to go down in the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, to take possession of it. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Arise, go down to Ahab to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone down to take possession of it. And you shall speak to him, saying, 'Thus says the Lord, have you murdered and also taken possession?' And you shall speak to him, saying, 'Thus says the Lord, in the place where the dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, the dogs will lick up your blood, even yours.' And Ahab said to Elijah, 'Have you found me, O my enemy?' And he answered, 'I have found you, because you have sold yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon you, and will utterly sweep you away, and will cut off from Ahab every male, both bond and free, in Israel. And I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, because of the provocation with which you have provoked me to anger, and because you have made Israel sin. And of Jezebel also has the Lord spoken, saying, the dogs shall eat Jezebel in the district of Jezreel. The one belonging to Ahab who dies in the city, the dogs shall eat, and the one who dies in the field, the birds of heaven shall eat. Surely there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel his wife incited him. And he acted very abominably in following idols, according to all that the Amorites had done, whom the Lord cast out before the sons of Israel. And it came about when Ahab heard these words that he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and fasted, and he lay in sackcloth and went about despondently. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, 'Do you see how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but I will bring the evil upon his house in his son's days.'" Amen. Okay, so we have this situation where Ahab covets this field. And really, there's nothing special about this field except that it's the proximity is right next to the palace. And like the guy, he just wants a vegetable garden. You can see that Ahab is this really fickle king. Now, Naboth saying no to the king is not wrong. And it's not disrespectful to the king. In fact, it's his duty. Remember, the text in verse 3 says, "The Lord forbid me." And because when land is given by inheritance, it belongs to the person. And so the only way the land can be taken away is if the person goes into debt. financial situation. But even then, remember, at 50 years, they have what they call the year of Jubilee. The land is returned back to Naboth and his family. And so this is perpetual ownership of this land, which kind of gives us some idea of the situation that's happening in the Middle East that, you know, a lot of people don't really bring about too much, but I'm not going to get into that right now. And so he is really forbidden by Levitical law to actually sell or exchange this land. It's not proper. So what Naboth is telling the king actually is very righteous. And so you don't have to think that he was being disrespectful or anything in any way. He was actually being godly about this. And Ahab, being a Israelite king, would also know of these laws that are in place. But you can see he's just greedy. He's selfish. He's a narcissist. And so he still wants it. And at the end of the day, he's just a big baby. And so much so that the scripture says that he turns his face away and eats no food. And he turns his face away, meaning from the servants and everyone. And most likely because he was crying, he was sullen. It's just a horrible picture of what you'd want a king to be like. As a parent, it's like one of my kids. You know, my kid doesn't get what they want, you know, and they're like, oh, I'm not going to eat food. And, you know, turns away and he's got this sad look on his face. And it's like, this is not the demeanor, the posture of a king. And we have these stories to give us these little insights and ideas about the character of, you know, people, particularly this King Ahab. And, it's just a really sad thing. And he knows the law, but he basically goes around it because it suits his purpose. I mean, this is really he is the epitome of a sinner. He's the epitome of someone who's self-righteous and narcissistic. It's all about me. I don't care about anybody else. Even God's laws, I don't care about. And so we get more of an insight into Ahab's character. And so his wife comes, his evil wife, and he says, why are you acting like this? And you kind of get a picture of this idiom of who wears the pants in his family. And so she's like, why are you doing this? And Ahab relays the story and he goes, aren't you the king of Israel? In other words, can't you do anything you want? But notice here also, in Ahab's explanation, he doesn't include the simple fact that he has hereditary right to this land that Naboth does, and he omits that part. And maybe because, you know, Jezebel is not really in tune with Jewish law or anything, or who knows, but he omits that little part there. And then she says to her, basically, says to him, basically, I'm going to take care of it. So you go ahead and go eat and refresh yourself and don't look like a fool in front of all the servants. And then she writes the letters using Ahab's seal, which means that the seal, the signet, is on his finger, okay? And so it's not like something that's apart from him. And so he colludes to this whole thing. I mean, you know, he needs to be there present, sealing this thing. And so he is basically corroborating with this evil plan. And not only him, but also the leaders of the city. They also are corroborating with this. And so either they're afraid of Jezebel or they're just evil men and evil leaders and evil rulers in this place. And look at the kind of the blasphemy of this whole thing. What she asked him to do is to consecrate a fast. The fast was really a day of humility and humiliation. And the reason why they do that is they wanted the people, even though the rulers were evil and all these things, you still had to get the approval of the people. And so by consecrating a fast, they want to give the image that this was a really serious offense that's happening here. That this is really, that Naboth really did a really bad thing. And so they consecrate a fast, they consecrate a day of humility and a day of mourning for the people, and to give this picture that the king is mourning and the nation is mourning because of what Naboth did. I mean, imagine that. These guys use a religious or a holy event to do evil. I mean, do you kind of get an inside picture of how evil Jezebel is and Ahab? And even if Ahab wasn't his idea, he corroborates with this thing. I mean, he's guilty as well. And it's amazing. I mean, they consecrate a fast. This most holy weapon that they have for the people of Israel, basically to do evil. And it gives you an idea they have no regard for God. They have no regard for God's observances. They have no regard for the people. They only have regard for themselves. And that's the state of the nation of Israel. So it happens, by the way, when they say, and seat Naboth at the head of the table, actually, it's not the place of honor that we typically think. The head of the table actually is the height of the table. And so when people went to court and they took people to court, the defendant was lifted up and thus gave the impression that that the person was on trial. And that's the situation that's happening here. So it's not like they brought him to, because I know the word head of the table, and the connotation is glory. That's not the connotation here. It actually means the height of the table. So it was kind of lifted up from everybody else, which meant that the person's on trial, which would be a typical setting that's here. And these two worthless men come in and they curse God, which is bad, and curse the king. You can't do that because the king is a representative of God on earth. And so double whammy, they go and kill him. And next thing you know, the word of the Lord comes to Elijah, the Tishbite, and he comes down. And seemingly, I mean, whatever happens with Elijah before, he seemed to have gotten better. He's now serving the Lord again. Remember, you had the whole thing with the cave, and now he's mentoring Elisha. And the word of the Lord comes, and he doesn't seem to be afraid of Ahab. He's really afraid of Jezebel, but he doesn't seem to be afraid of Ahab. And if you think about it, why would you be? He's just a big kid. I mean, this guy's just a big baby, and so you could tell he's kind of weak constitution. And so Elijah is okay. He goes down. He speaks the word of the Lord and says, "Man, you have stolen. We're going to wipe you out of the face of the earth." And then Jezebel also, the dog shall eat her in the district of Jezreel. This same punishment that happened to Jeroboam and Baasha is going to happen to Ahab. But then something interesting happens. Verse 27 is a summary statement. I'm sorry, verse 25 is a summary statement. This is, no one was like Ahab who sold himself to do evil. I mean, just totally lost. But Ahab, verse 27, hears the words. He tears his clothes. He puts on sackcloth and he fasts. And so, in other words, this is the Old Testament picture of repentance. When people tear their clothes, put on sackcloth, and fast, that was really the outward, not more symbol, but outward appearance of inward repentance. And so Ahab repents. And then you're kind of confused. You're like, actually, Ahab, he's not a bad guy either. He just married the wrong woman. And there is something of the Lord inside of Ahab. Bible tells us that bad company corrupts good morals. And I'm not saying that Ahab was good. I think he just had a really weak personality and, prone to different things. But it was Jezebel, the priestess, that really wrapped him up. And that's kind of what he says, because Jezebel, his wife, incited him, and then he repents, and then God relents his punishment from Ahab and says, not in your day, but in your son's day, they're going to experience this. And we see this idea of generational transfer, or we could say generational curse in that regard. And so, I mean, it's kind of interesting of how this goes about, and we see this character of this person. So let's close our eyes today. And I think there's a couple takeaways. One important one, man, we can, I should say, repentance is powerful. Man, if Ahab repents and he is saved, now, I tell you, if his sons later on, if they also walk in humility, they will be saved as well. Like, that punishment doesn't need to happen to his sons. But it will happen because they're not good men and they don't repent. And so it's not a foregone conclusion that this is going to happen in this way. God always makes room for repentance. No matter what we've done, no matter how far we've gone astray, those simple words of, Lord, forgive me, I'm sorry, are powerful. I mean, in relationship, I mean, with my wife, you know, when we have our troubles and each of us come before one another, I mean, in humility and say, I'm so sorry for what I did. Will you forgive me? Those words are powerful. And I've seen in our marriage how those words, I mean, not just words, but heartfelt, you know, with weight in our heart, when it really comes out, so much healing and restoration takes place. And how much more with God when we say, Lord, I am so sorry. Will you forgive me? The power of that in our lives. 1,000 evils could fall to your wayside in that regard. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to us. You don't have anything to repent of today. I mean, you might, but just have that attitude of repentance. It's powerful. Whatever has happened, Lord, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And when we humble ourselves and repent, it's the road, it's the beginning of the road to restoration. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to us about walking and living in repentance. Doesn't mean hitting ourselves all the time, but this keen awareness of our sinfulness is what David says in Psalm 139. Search me and try me, O God, and see if there be any hurtful thing within me, and lead me in the everlasting way. He's talking about living in the everlasting way, the way of the Lord. And so let's pray for a repentant attitude and lifestyle. Really, those words, Lord, I'm so sorry. Forgive me. Powerful.
Sure.
Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? And who can stand in that holy place? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart. So simple. Well, let's pray. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray for that attitude of repentance. Let's pray for our church, that as a church, we'd also walk in that attitude. Let's lift up our voices. Let's pray for our community that are battling illness and cancer. And let's pray for those going through therapies. And let's pray for God's healing word. Pray for our community that are battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for that word of healing, that word of salvation. If you notice, go back to the other slide. If you notice, Virginia Chang's brother-in-law, the surgery is today, so it can especially lift up, okay? You can go to the next one now. Let's pray for those that are battling through non-cancer-related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for those that are looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision and His open doors. Let's go to our mission focus, and let's pray for Singapore, particularly SPSG. They just came back from their retreat. They had an incredible time. Let's pray that God would continue to bless them and use them and use this momentum from the retreat to draw closer. Let's also pray for Indonesia. Let's pray for this country. Let's pray for Spin and Professor Selamat and the ministry here, and particularly the mission trip that's happening in a few weeks. So let's ask for God's hand to be with the team. Let's lift up Singapore and Indonesia. Let's pray for our prayer and healing ministries, IP, Well, and River. Let's ask the Lord to be with our leaders, with our prayer people, with our counselors, that the Holy Spirit would use them powerfully. Let's pray that every person they come in contact with would just really get a touch of God. Let's pray for our education ministries, Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and SPU. Let's pray for our leaders, our teachers, volunteers, and our children and college students. Let's pray that Holy Spirit would just touch them powerfully. Let's lift up our outreaches, SP Lights and the Homie Outreach. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to lead. Pray that every person would be anointed by the Lord and divine appointments and protected. Let's just pray for a really fruitful evening. Let's pray for house churches meeting tonight, Elements and Olympic. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to anoint our leaders people that come. They will be really touched by the Lord. And this is the last house church of this season. Let's pray for a real good, fruitful ending. Let's pray together. Father, thank you this morning. Thank you for your word, God. Lord, help us to be mindful, God, of our hearts and aware of our sinfulness, Lord. We don't want anything to get in the way of, God, unfettered intimacy with you, Lord. And so would you help us, God, keep us in a mindset and attitude of repentance and humility, God. Lord, those words are powerful, Lord. And so would you help us to live through it, God, and live by it, Lord. We thank you. Watch over us, Lord, and help us to give you glory today in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we're going to finish 1 Kings tomorrow.